Lana, that was beautiful. We are preaching through the book of Philippians, so find your Bibles and open them there with me this morning. We've kind of moved along at somewhat of a snail's pace, but also pretty rapidly. We've come to chapter 2, verse 1. We're allowing the church at Philippi to be our archetype, our model, our mentors, if you will, on a congregational level and also as individuals. Being an archetype means to model for us characteristics that we want. And we're attempting to adopt their characteristics as our own characteristics. Now, this may go without saying, but in order to adopt their characteristics, what that means is we're going to have to eliminate some of our existing characteristics. Their characteristics are what we admire, and as we adopt them, that's going to push out of our lives some of our standing, some of our current characteristics. And that's so difficult because our current characteristics, or our old characteristics, if you will, have, in the past, to some extent, they've defined us. But bringing in new characteristics, adopting their characteristics cannot coexist with our characteristics. So some of those have to go. This morning we're going to explore the concept of giving instead of getting. And we're not just talking about finances, we're talking about the spirit of giving. And without a doubt, as Christ followers, the most foreign characteristic we adopt is giving instead of getting. There's an old English poem by an unknown author. It's entitled "Thanks Be to God." Reads this way: "I do not thank thee, Lord, for I have bread to eat while others starve, nor yet for work to do while empty hands solicit heaven, nor for a body strong while other bodies flatten beds of pain. No, for these I do not give thanks, but I am grateful, Lord, because my meager loaf I can divide, for that my busy hands may move to meet another's need, because my doubled strength I may expend to steady one who faints. Yes, for all these do I give thanks." So, we're seeing here this mentality, this new character, this new personality, if you will, that takes on the attitude that we're really grateful to God that we're able not to get from people, or we're not to get, you know, from culture. We're able to give. We're able to help. We're able to contribute. Thanks to Hollywood, a whole new generation of Americans has been exposed to the writings of the great Christian author, J.R.R. Tolkien. His imaginary little people are called hobbits, and they live someplace called Middle Earth. But hobbits, although they're not very fond of adventure, hobbits have a tradition and a desire to give rather than to get. In fact, when they celebrate their birthdays, they don't get birthday presents. They give presents to the other hobbits around them. In explaining this custom in the Fellowship of the Ring, Tolkien writes, "Every day in the year, somebody's birthday, every day in the year is somebody's birthday, so that every hobbit in those parts had a fair chance of at least one present at least once a week. So we have a Christian poet, now we have a Christian author, who are both pointing to and alluding to, and it's always there. I don't think we're always very conscious of it. They're pointing to this characteristic of those who are being transformed into the image of Christ, this characteristic of shedding, getting, and embracing giving. It's a process. This transition is a process. It's called sanctification. God is about this work in each of our lives. He's called the hound from heaven because he just won't let up on this. It's a process of transitioning us into a new creation. And the characteristic in this transition that puts us most in the image of our Savior Jesus is losing the old desire to get, and to adopt the desire of give. So let's focus on it this morning. Let's focus on the idea of giving instead of getting. I once heard a comedian say, in whose world is it better to give than it is to receive? And of course, they got a big laugh. Doesn't mean it's not true. The answer to that question is, in Christ's world, it's better to give than receive. In Christ's kingdom, it's better to give than it is to receive. Give of ourselves, give of our souls, give of whatever we have, our time, our energy, give our finances, give. Now, this involves some things. And Paul is helping us along here. It involves, first of all, submission to Christ. Let's understand this. A proud person cannot submit. A proud person who has to have their own way, that's their characteristic. A proud person is a person who simply cannot understand not having what they want. It's part of their character. It's part of their personality. They don't understand anything different. Always or usually getting what they want. Like the man who once wanted to buy a boat. He came home and told his wife, I want to buy a boat. And she was very dismayed about this because they couldn't afford it. They couldn't afford a boat. So she explained to him, they couldn't afford to take money out of the family finances to buy something as frivolous as a boat. But he just couldn't get his mind off of it. He couldn't get around it. He wanted it. He wanted a boat. So he went out and bought a boat. Came home and announced to his wife, I bought a boat. And she couldn't believe he'd done that. Especially because of their discussion. And a lie to the fact that he didn't have the finances. He said, look, he's trying to appease her. He said, look, I'll let you name the boat whatever you want to name it. So he went to work the next day and couldn't wait to get home. Drove out to the harbor to see what she had named the boat. And there on the stern, emblazoned in bright, beautiful letters, was the name For Sale. Pride will not let us get. We're narcissists. We are narcissists by nature. We cannot get past not having what we want, not doing the things we want to do. This is what I want. In our heart and our soul, that really kind of guides us and directs us. That's not what I want. This is what I want. So we go about life carrying out what it is we want. Pride. Submission is not that. Submission is yielding to another. Let's start here at verse 9 and kind of back the way up to the first verse, verses 9 through 11. For this reason, God also highly exalted him, Jesus, and gave him the name that is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow at those who are in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. That's interesting. Every knee should bow. This practice is called genuflection. Wikipedia says genuflection is the bending of at least one knee to the ground. From early times, it was a gesture of deep respect for a superior. In 328 BC, Alexander the Great introduced into his court etiquette some form of genuflection, which was already in use in Persia. In the Byzantine Empire, even senators were required to genuflex to their emperor. It originally meant kneeling rather than rapid dropping to one knee and immediately rising that became customary in Western Europe in the Middle Ages. Paul says every knee should bow. Not one knee, but every knee. I think the image we should have in mind here is not kneeling before the Lord on one knee so that we're in the ready position to bounce back up into the prideful standing position. I don't think that's it at all. I think the image here is that of the original meaning of going down on both knees in a vulnerable position. Being so respectful of the Lord, we're down on both knees submitting. Now, this is going to happen with everybody sooner or later. Every knee with everybody is going to bow sooner or later. So what we're talking about here is doing it now. Totally submitting ourselves to the Lord now rather than waiting until the judgment, right? Complete submission before the Lord with no threat of standing back up into the standing position. Let's keep in mind here that submission does not mean being beaten into submission. It doesn't mean being forced into submission or being shamed into submission. I continue to come back to this. True submission can only be given from a position of strength. We're told in Scripture that Jesus submitted to the Father. He didn't have to. He could have chosen not to. He had that strength. But because of his strength, Jesus chose to submit to God the Father. We don't have to submit either. We're going to sooner or later. We don't have to submit now. We can choose to wait until later, but in our position of strength, we choose to submit to the Lord Jesus now. So as to think about this transition from the old nature into the new nature, it's important for us to realize that a big part of it is submission to Christ. Another thing this transition involves is simulation of Christ. In other words, we will do all we can do to be like Christ Jesus. I personally don't think there is another way to make sense out of the characteristic of giving. It doesn't make sense. The only way to make sense out of the characteristic of giving is having a desire to act like Christ and live like Christ. That's the only way to develop the heart of Christ. Houston Chronicle tells about an eighth grade English school teacher named Miss Harris, who came up with a creative assignment for her new eighth graders on the first day of class. She said, look, let's do this. Everybody get out a sheet of paper. Let's all write a little essay explaining what we would do if we had $1 million. Well, what would you do if you had $1 million? Go ahead and take the whole school period and write your little essay. So they did, and they all started, and she watched them. A few minutes before the end of the hour, she said, okay, let's hand them in. She walked around and got them. And she got to one young guy, and he turned in a blank piece of paper. And she was upset. She said, I've given you the whole hour to tell us what you would do with your life if you had $1 million. And you wrote nothing. You didn't do anything. And he said, well, if I had $1 million, that's what I would do. I wouldn't do anything. I'd do nothing. Truth be known, I think that's a little bit revealing about all of us. We are often okay with doing nothing. We are. We're okay with not witnessing. We're okay with not sharing. We're okay with not tithing. We're okay with not giving. We're okay with not giving anything to the Lord. You know, we kind of...
Here's our understanding of giving is showing up here on Sunday morning. Doing nothing. Financially or any other way. Jesus was never okay with doing nothing. Let's back up here to verse 5. But make your own attitude that of Christ Jesus, who, existing in the form of God, did not consider equality with God as something to be used for his own advantage. In other words, he wasn't content just to rest back and allow being like God to his own advantage, doing nothing. He wasn't going to be content with that. I'm in the image of God, so I'm not going to do anything. That wasn't the spirit of Christ. Instead, he emptied himself by assuming the form of a slave, taking on the likeness of men, and when he had come as a man in his external form, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even to death on the cross. Folks, that's a lot of giving. That's a whole lot of giving. For us, he emptied himself, he became a slave, he wore flesh, he humbled himself, he became obedient, and then he died on a cross. That's a whole lot of giving. And did you notice how that passage began? Make your own attitude like that of Christ. In other words, imitate Jesus by giving something. Do something. Give something. Don't hold on to everything. You ever see this show? I don't know if it's still on television or not. I've watched it a few times, enough times to be grossed out by it. It's these folks, reality program, it's these folks who get and never let go of anything until their whole house is just full of stuff. Have you ever seen this? It's called hoarders. Hoarders, you know? Their house is so gross, you can barely walk through the house. They've got a little path. Sometimes they don't have a path. You've got to climb over stuff to get through their house. They have dead animals in there. You know, they're so consumed with getting, they got pots and pans and magazines and newspapers and, you know, clothes, old clothes, new clothes. Some of the clothes still has the price tag on them. They've never been worn. Now, you may have another term for this ailment. I just call it gross. This is just gross. Consumed with getting, holding on to. You know, I'm going to gather around me everything. I'm not going to let go of anything. I'm going to hoard it. Why is that any better than standing before the Lord and not letting go of anything in our lives? Lord, I'm going to take as much as I can get. I'm going to crowd around my life. I'm going to get, and I'm not going to let go of anything to anybody. No blessing, no time, no energy, no service, no money, or as little money as I can get away with giving. Hoarding. And in these shows, they always bring in a life coach. You know, and the life coach, this person's job is to sit and tell me about your problem. Let's just talk this through, you know. Linda and I always say, they ought to back in there with a backhoe and just get rid of the stuff. And the life coach rarely ever does anything because the person just continues. If they clear the house out, they'll start hoarding again. And I'm just telling you, this is who we are. We're getters, not givers. That's the way culture is. Culture is, I'm going to hold on to every blessing God gives me, everything God gives me. I'm not going to give up anything. But that's not the way Christ is at all. Jesus says to us, no, that's not the way to live. Jesus says, be like me. You're adopting my character. You're letting go of your old character. That didn't work for you. It doesn't work for me either, Jesus says.
You're letting go of your old character, and you're adopting my character, and my character is that of giving rather than getting. Imitate me. Imitate me. Final thing involved in this transition is supportive of others. This is a true story. Several years ago, Butterball, the turkey people, established a hotline for people to call in with questions about preparing their holiday turkey. And it was a very busy hotline. People were calling in and had questions about how to prepare their turkeys. And one of the calls came in, and the question was this. The question from, it was a lady. She said, I have a question about a turkey that I've had frozen in the bottom of my freezer for 23 years. And she said, is it still good? Can we eat it? And the man put on hold for a while. He went off and got, answers, came back and said, well, if you've kept the turkey frozen below zero for the 23 years, there's probably nothing wrong with it. But, he quickly added, if it's been frozen below zero for 23 years, it's probably lost all of its taste. There's no taste value to it, and if I were you, I wouldn't eat it. She said, that's what we thought. We'll just give it to the church. Nobody else wants it. Let's give it to the church. I wonder if that's the spirit that's being described here. Several years ago in the church we came from, before we came here, we decided to establish a clothes pantry. We have a food pantry. Some of you all have come to me over the years wanting to establish a clothes pantry. I've never been in favor of it, and this is why. We decided to establish a clothing pantry back there, and there was a Sunday school class. It was a large class, but it was so inconvenient that nobody wanted to use it. So we decided, it was a large class, we decided let's take that whole room and kind of remodel that, so we can hang clothes and things with a little table in there to help people, and let's put clothes in there and help people in need. Bad idea. Everybody in the church cleaned out their old nasty closets. And brought their old, worn-out clothes up there for this clothes closet. And it wasn't long until, our vision was to have these things orderly, kind of like you go to Goodwill or something, or Salvation Army, to kind of have them orderly hung up by size and by color and all that sort of thing, and have this table where people who had a need could come in, stand at the table, and we could give them some clothes to help them out. But that wasn't it at all. This place was like a hoarder. It was piled and piled and piled, these old nasty clothes that nobody wanted. And then the other problem was nobody wanted to come and get them. It's like, keep your old nasty clothes yourself. We don't want those things. We don't wear these clothes anymore. We haven't worn them in 20 years. Let's take them to the church. Let's just take them up there to the church. I think our old tendency was not to give our best. That's our old tendency. Here's what Paul says in verse 1. We've moved all the way up to the top of the chapter now. If then there is any encouragement in Christ, if any consolation of love, if any fellowship with the Spirit, if any affection and mercy, fulfill my joy by thinking the same way, having the same love, sharing the same feelings, focusing on one goal. Do nothing out of rivalry or conceit, but in humility consider others more important than yourselves. Whoa. Everyone should look out not only for his own interests, but also
for the interests of others. Did you hear that? Consider others more important than yourselves. And look out for the interests of others. So our new tendency is to give others our best. Give each other our best. Give our church our best. Give our community our best. Give the lost world around us our best. Getting is the stench of our old dying nature that reaches, I think it reaches an offensive level with the Lord, so he's kind of like, please, get away. Keep your getting to itself, or keep it away from me, or let it die and adopt my characteristic of giving, giving, giving. Let's get our cold, dying, old nature claws off all of our stuff and let it go. Let it go. And adopt Jesus' characteristic of giving, of our efforts, of our time, of our energy, of our talents, of our money. Give, 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 give back to the Lord. Started off by saying our old characteristic of getting surely is the most difficult of all characteristics to release, and giving is the most difficult of the Lord's characteristics to develop. But it's who we are. Let's get serious about it. Amen? Amen. Pray with me.